Good morning or good afternoon, and welcome to Making a Change for Good.
Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, it's Winnie.
Our assignment from yesterday. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I don't get exercise, I'll gain weight and feel bad about how I look. If I don't prioritize work, I will feel bad for not doing what I should do. The assignment. What are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hey.
What kind of choices are you getting?
I have two no-win choices, two pairs. One of them is, you really need to be fit, and it's really urgent that you get fit, so you really need to do something right away. And the other one is, that goes with that, is you can't. You are sick. You can't exercise. It makes you worse, so it's just hopeless and helpless.
Mm.
So you must do it, but it's impossible. And then my other pair is from a long time ago is it's very important how you look, and you have to get all fit so you can look good. And the other alternating voice of misery is, that is so shallow that you think it's important how you look. You shouldn't really be concerned about that.
Uh-huh. And besides, if you are shallow and you do care about that, you can't get fit anyway, so all roads lead back to the
lead to misery.
Yeah, to misery. Wow.
Or this feeling of being like, the helpless one is very familiar to me, where there's something that's urgent and must be done, is very important, and it's impossible.
And you
together.
Can't.
Yeah, yeah, so there's this kind of tension of doing nothing and just kind of giving up, like in helplessness and lying down and
giving up in helplessness with a lot of stress.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Because
it's not like you can lie down and relax because you can't do anything anyway. It's a very stressful, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It just exactly reminds me of that experiment they did with dogs where they would randomly shock them. And they were in a cage and the door was open, but they wouldn't go out the door. They would just get randomly shocked, and then they just gave up and would lie down and take the shocks. And it was, they called it, you know, learned helplessness. That is what that is like.
And Jennifer, outside of that whole process that you see, are there things that you can do to help your body be more fit without sliding over into doing things that make you feel worse?
Yeah, I have some things, and, you know, conditioning said, well, you already found all the things. But now I'm kind of excited about, everybody's been talking about, you know, what is the definition of fitness? And, like, jettisoning the idea that fitness is a certain thing that conditioning says it is, but being fit for my life and for what I do, and I'm kind of excited about, well, what could I do?
Uh-huh.
What can I do to be fit for my
life? Yes, yes, yes. And following that guidance so that it doesn't go into one of these extremes that the conditioned mind is so fond of, one of these either-ors. Yeah, but just, okay, well, right now, what might be fun? What now might be good for me?
Joy. What can I enjoy that I can do for some level of fitness?
Yes, given my life circumstances.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 At which, before I let you go, is also interesting, isn't it? Because so much of that same process is what we refer to find out what our life circumstances are.
Oh.
Right, so you could apply that same process to, well, Now, really, what are my life circumstances? Let's not assume that we know what those are. What are they really? And within whatever that is in this moment, what now to enjoy the body?
Yes, that is so good, because conditioning's pretty sure it knows what my circumstances are and what my limitations are. It thinks it knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Excellent. All right.
Excellent.
Thank
yeah,
you, Jennifer.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. There was so much in that conversation, Sherry, and it's so pertinent to what we're looking at on retreat, right? That story feels so real. You have to be fit. There's an assumption of fitness built into that. You can't be that fit and therefore don't do anything. You mm-hmm. can't be that way,
feel bad.
So don't do it. Yes.
Just feel bad. Yeah.
Just feel bad. And it's and we so believe it, right? But everything about that is made up. And that realization that there is no fitness that is a standard that is universally applicable to everybody else. I mean, we say mm-hmm. the word fitness, and everybody goes to their conditioned notion of fitness without going to, here, wait a minute, let me check in to see if I know what fitness means.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
to get to the place where Jennifer was talking about, okay, here are the circumstances that are my circumstances in this moment. What can I do in order to take care of my body or to assist my body in these circumstances, which is mm-hmm. such a different orientation than to live in a conversation about an imaginary understanding or assumption of fitness and feel paralyzed that you can't actually do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because that's the constant, isn't it? Something is held out as the way it should be, and then we get the information about why that's not going to work for us.
Yeah.
Right. So you should be this way, but you can't be this way. You should be. You should do that, but you can't do that because of blah, 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 whatever is happening. So there's always that, well, I mean, what's the logical conclusion? There's something wrong, right? And yeah. it's with me, because if it should be that way and I can't make it that way, well, that's on me.
Mm. And the thing I was seeing most about it, a la our retreat focus, is simply how persistent, how we can't believe that we live in an imaginary reality, right? Because it's mm-hmm. so real. But just that example that Jennifer just gave us is so, it points so directly to the illusion that it is, because it has nothing mm-hmm. to do with how I am in the moment, what my circumstances are now, and what my body can do now.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
the
right.
key to Here's that, the key to that, just quickly, the key to that is we cannot accept that the, in quotes, reality we're living in is imaginary, because mm-hmm. it feels mm-hmm. so real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello? I guess. Okay, well, let me try to bring some.
Hello? We got contact. Yes, hello.
Hello? This is Ren in South Florida. I think I was still muted.
Oh, okay. Hey, Ren.
Hi, I'm so happy to be on.
What are you saying about fitness?
For the hurricane.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
What I see is exactly just what you guys were talking about, in that it's whatever I do, it's not enough. And I
yeah.
saw it through eating, and like many people have said before in the Sangha, I knew eating was coming up, and then I knew fitness was coming up, and even though I lost X number of pounds because I had been eating a little bit better, even before the awareness. It just fit in so nicely. It's still telling me, oh, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, quiet with that. So what I'm trying to focus on is when I walk the dog, you know, be like the dog. Enjoy it. He chases the butterfly. He chases the leaf that's blowing. He is so happy to see the weeds as we go by. And the other thing is, you know, if I'm my other story, because the two choices, right, are that I'm too lazy or I'm too busy because I have to do, quote, unquote, work, is to try to do, take a few minutes and sing at the top of my lungs and dance, you know, and just get active. I guess the word fitness, I fall for that, like, oh, I can't do it. But if I say, just be active, I can do it.
Because, again, for many of us, when we were very young, fitness was not an issue, but we were very active and very busy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, one of my favorite memories, and it came up for me, I think after I went to the retreat, was I remembered that when I was a little girl, I used to ride my bike. I was only allowed to go so far. So I used to ride it like one neighbor's driveway and turn around and ride it to the other neighbor's driveway and turn around. And I was happy as a lark just talking to myself. And it's kind of like recording and listening now. My brothers and sisters made fun of me. I didn't care. I had a lot to say to myself, and I was a good listener. And just discovering almost like that play of it.
That is such a great image. Right. And now, if you're going to go on a bike ride, well, you have to go to someplace really interesting, and it has to be long, and it has to be this, and it has to be that, and it has to be something else, because we've moved away from just the fun of whatever it is that we're doing, wherever it is that we are, and into ego's version of a special experience. I love that connection with how you were then and recording and listening. Yeah.
Yeah, because practice, you know, sort of opened my eyes to the fact that I can be there for myself. I used to be there for myself when I was little, didn't even know it, and it's fun.
Yes, you were plenty, weren't you? You were plenty.
Yeah.
It's not that you were enough. You were plenty. You were all the entertainment that you needed.
I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I still can be, and it's such a gift. Such a gift. And hearing everybody else's story is such a gift.
All right. Now, just quickly before I let you go, did the hurricane go past you? Are you all right?
Yes, we were just fine. It really tore up the Bahamas, and now it's going up northward, but we were just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, school tomorrow then. Enjoy the rest of today. All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ren. Isn't it also interesting, Sherry, that if we contemplate doing what Ren just said, which is riding my bike up and down and talking to myself, the level of self-hate that would be directed to us both internally and externally, it's almost not something we would contemplate. The acceptable version of fitness is to go to the gym. And imagine the absurdity of that from a child's point of view.
Right? Yeah, you don't get to do anything all day, and then you have to go to the gym for an hour.
Yes. Well, and it really points to what we're looking at, the depth of the conditioning and the belief around how we don't question it. It's just how it is.
Yeah,
and then to find that sense of play, to find that sense of that aspect of life in me is not gone. I could just tap into it and not be inappropriate But that juice, that ability to tap into life and the life force in that playful way, in that ability to be with ourselves, that natural thing that we, that natural capacity that we all have, and then to come from there in what we've got to do in our, within quotes, grown-up lives.
Yes, with the same joy, right? Find that joy, and then be able to have that in every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, and I love how Jennifer put it, fit for my life, or fit for life, not fit for ego. All right, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Who's this?
Oh, good. Hi, this is Carolyn from Northern California.
Well, hello, Carolyn.
Hi.
What are you saying about fitness?
Well, one of my favorite all-time quotes is, unstiffen your supple body, unchatter your quiet mind, and unfreeze your fiery heart.
Ooh.
And what all of the, and what I'm seeing in the fitness part of it is, ego will use anything it can to imprison you. And turning your body into a stiff, armored prison can really limit your participation in life.
So each one of those that you laid out, that's exactly it, isn't it? That we have been taken from supple and
quiet mind and fiery heart.
Oh, right. Quiet mind and fiery heart into stiff body, nuts mind, and cold heart.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And so, of course, it's going to do anything it can to keep me from the dance, to keep me from the movement, the great joy of participating and exulting in a human body. And that brings And then the other quote I just love is, I've lost it, but just let the soft animal of your body love what it loves.
Yes, because I didn't think of that quote, but I was thinking about animals and watching a cat or a dog enjoy being in its physical form. And just obviously it's projection, but having that sense that there really isn't any judgment. When you want to move, you move, and how you move, and there's no self-consciousness. You don't need to look a certain way. You don't need to just expressing, just alive and expressing.
Yes. The joy of watching a cat or a dog stretch. They're in the stretch. I mean, there's no separation.
There's no me stretching.
Yes.
Right? There's just stretching. Stretching is stretching.
Yes. Breathing, moving, stretching. Yeah, it's just it's a celebration. And then that you really get the sense that life is enjoying it. It's like life is participating in your enjoyment. So it even expands even more.
Yes. Yeah, the expression of life is enjoying life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whew. Makes me want to stretch.
I know. We should all, let's all take a nice big stretch together.
That's right. Yeah, instead of that old Coke commercial of let's all have a Coke together, let's all enjoy a stretch together.
A nice deep breath and a big stretch.
Yeah, and a grin.
Thank right. you so much.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carolyn. One can almost go there through that, through those words, right, Sherry?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a way in which, I don't know, there's a that imagery is so powerful when we see the natural abilities of life in a form like a cat stretch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way in which we get to see the possibility that we have. That we have because we're animated by that same force and inhabited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
And exchange that frozen stiff. What was the third adjective? Frozen stiff and
chattering yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
For that still mm-hmm. for stillness, for passion, and for being supple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just takes a shift of attention.
Yes. Yes. And we can, I imagine most people who are in this conversation do yoga, know yoga, have at least tried yoga. And there is the stretching like that and then hearing the voice come in with the critique, the how you mm-hmm. should be doing it, how it should feel, how you, and sensing that vast difference between that and what's going on with that cat or that dog or that small child,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And knowing which one we want. Get out of that conversation and that chattering mind and just get into that supple body. Feel that fire in your heart and enjoy.
Yes, enjoy being the operative word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing one thing about fitness. The conversation that I heard before is that one thing is that I was appreciating this weekend that I was able to garden for 2 hours without feeling the least bit tired. And to me, that's my definition of fitness.
Yes, you can do what you want to do
yeah.
and enjoy it without feeling tired or depleted or whatever. Yeah, you have enough exactly. energy for what you choose to do.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm definitely seeing that. In terms of the exercises, you know, I was seeing some dualities about a couple of pairs of dualities about really what I noticed is that I work out first thing in the morning, either swimming or running or yoga, and what I saw was there's definitely an overwhelmed and an person and an old lady person who basically are like either it's too much, I can't do it, or I'm too tired, I've had enough and don't want to do it, and then seeing as well a resentful person who doesn't want to do it. And then on the other side of the duality, I saw this person who, taskmaster, who basically says you have to do it. If you don't do it, you'll be depressed and you won't feel good. And then there's the depressed person who says, yes, I have to do it. You know, so it's like who basically there's the you have to do it and then the I have to do it. And what I noticed was there didn't seem to be anybody who wanted to do it. It's just like I would do it first thing in the morning, and, you know, it's just like a habit, like brushing my teeth. But there's no one who's like, oh, I can't wait to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess and so that's what I'm seeing. And I guess what occurred to me is when I'm actually doing it, When I'm done doing it, there's someone who, you know, is like, oh, I'm so glad I did it. I feel this accomplishment. I feel really good physically. And then what I looked at was when I'm actually doing it, what I noticed is that what happens is that it's kind of like I get in a rhythm. And then what happens is that it's not like there's anybody it's like there's not anybody really there. You know, it's like uh-huh. It kind of falls, and the kind of the mind falls away, and you know, I still may be thinking things.
You're like the cat in the stretch.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, so maybe there's, yeah, so maybe there's not a personality that wants to do it, but something happens so that it all falls away when I'm doing it.
Well, and, you know, Andrea, what I see in that is what you've learned over time is that physical movement is really important in not falling into depression.
Yes.
If you don't move, if the body doesn't get to move, depression seeps in and takes over. And so,
yes.
And so you now, and I encourage you to look into this, okay, to see what your experience is of this, because somebody, and we could say it's you from center, we could say it's part of you, we could say it's compatible, whatever it is willing to do something that nobody wants to do in order to help somebody out.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't really even see that, but yeah.
Even though there's resistance and people, you know, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, whatever it is, somebody, something gets you to do that so that that person doesn't suffer.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that, because what I was seeing is, that the only people who get me to do it are the taskmaster and the depressed person, who are basically doing it from a fear motivation. But
maybe not.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, I mean, definitely, you know, there's also this conversation that I notice, which is physical activity seems to be the best thing that I could possibly do if I had to choose anything. And, you know, and of course, that's probably conditioning, basically saying, oh, yeah, you know, if we have to choose between, you know, physical activity or meditation, we better choose the physical. You know, right? But,
yeah. Right. Yeah. And so let's say if we take it into another arena, I know you have a child, and you want him to eat well. Right? Now, you might not always feel inspired to provide good nutrition for him, but you're going to do it. And not because you fear that he'll get sick or he'll die, or, I mean, somebody might say that that's what you're, but it's not. It's because you love him. So you'll go beyond whatever, I don't want to go to the store, I don't want to fix food, I don't want to, whatever it is, you'll do what is required to get past that resistance and negativity, because you love him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in the morning, I just it's such a habit that I just ignore it. You know, like, it's not like a high volume anymore. I just, you know, I don't even, I know it's there, and I don't pay attention to it, and I just get out.
That's right, which is key for all of us. You could indulge it. Probably there have been plenty of times in your life when you did indulge it, but now you don't want to indulge it, and so you don't, and that's the ability that we have.
Yeah, but I like your suggestion of, you know, finding that compassionate person, like trying to get more in touch with that person, because maybe if I get in touch with her, it would be a lot nicer to be able to go out, you know, and say,
have a buddy.
This person, yeah, with a buddy, rather than just go out and to say, okay, I'm not going to listen to those negative voices. Yeah,
that's right. And I think Ren gave us a clue, right? Right.
Yeah.
Riding the bicycle and talking to myself. Right.
So yeah, I love that.
So it's a great time to have a wonderful conversation with yourself and about all of the things that are important to you and that you like and that you enjoy and that possibly nobody else really wants to listen to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
all
funny,
right.
Because when I'm taking a walk, I actually do that. I record and listen every time I take a walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to add a little, like harder with the recorder if you're swimming.
Yes.
Right? But you could still be in that conversation, even though it's not a recorded one. You can be in that conversation with her.
When I'm swimming, I'm chanting to myself, I choose presence throughout the whole swim. I chant that mantra.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you.
Yeah, gosho.
All right. Gosho. Go happy.
You too.
Thanks, Sandria. There was so much in that conversation, Sherry, but we are at the end of the show. So here's our assignment. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, the karma is choosing to do what will keep the voices at bay instead of choosing what will bring me long-term well-being. RL, what you see.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fun, fun, fun. Thank you, Ashwini. Right. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, Sherry. Go happy.
Go happy.